listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 241 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
This week we are recording when it's April Fool's Day. There have been too many April Fools and then a load of news that you'd think would be April Fools but isn't April Fools. And the world is all generally just confusing right now.
Well, it turns out Brexit has been a huge success. Kill me now.
I mean, that's pretty much it. You've got three Brits here presenting to you. If you're a non-UK listener, we apologise. Stuff was meant to happen last week. Stuff didn't happen last week. And people are trying to decide if stuff's going to happen next week. My littlest brother is meant to be travelling in the next 10 days. And it's kind of like he's
To Germany.
To Germany. Yeah, to Germany and back. And it's like he's only just getting in under the new deadline of like, you know, around the 12th. And then, of course, something happens to further extend it anyway. So,
yeah.
It's just like, who knows? I mean, to be fair, at this point, I think maybe just the is it Larry the cat that looks after 10 Downing Street, or whichever cat looks after 10 Downing Street and the rat mouse problem?
Yes.
Maybe we should just, like, put the solutions on some kind of massive, like, kitty litter tray. And wherever that cat takes a dump next, that is our Brexit policy.
Yeah, that, I mean, that stands a better chance.
Yeah. I figured, you know, that would work. Anyway, that's not anything geeky. That's just depressing.
Or it's that urinating badger.
But urinating badges could work.
To be fair, that could be like an interesting catchphrase. That isn't anything geeky. That's just depressing.
I mean,
I was thinking, what urinating badger?
I mean, let's ignore what the whole situation post Brexit could mean for any form of tax relief happening for our various entertainment industries. But anyway. Today, rather than doing an April Fools, our games decided to kind of get pretty serious over on Reddit, and basically no one's been able to post since, well, at the time of recording, about 20 hours ago.
On purpose.
And they pretty much locked the entire subreddit down with a post explaining why. And basically it's because people have been dicks repeatedly for too long.
Gosh,
on the subreddit.
Really?
And the mods have kind of had enough. So they're kind of done with people posting like transphobic, misogynist, racist, homophobic, sexist, ableist. Everything that's kind of like essentially an act of being a dick. Oh, they're sick of people posting stuff that's pro paedophilia. You know, like.
What?
Yeah, that was on the list.
Yeah, it's.
With links to examples. It's like. Okay, I can see why. I mean, I've had to deal with some shitty moderation issues before on Reddit. None is quite as bad as that, though bad at times. I can understand why they've wanted to do that, because it's a big subreddit. It's not as big as our gaming, but the kind of discussion that our games has is meant to be of a higher level, almost. But yeah, goodness knows what the world's going to be like on there when they do finally allow people to post again. Apparently there's going to be a huge meta thread, so I'm sure everyone's going to dump on the mods as soon as they can post on there again. I mean, there's already been people being dicks about it on like Twitter, so it's like...
Gosh.
But there's a massive difference between stifling freedom of speech and deplatforming.
Yeah.
i.e. not giving somebody a platform to spread hate.
Because, yeah, I mean, if you want to post... I was going to say, if you want to post crap like that, there's 4chan and 8chan and 2chan. There's all the chans. Let's just go fuck it.
Yeah, yeah. My attitude has always been, you are entitled to say things. You are not entitled to not get consequences.
Hmm.
And the consequences can include being kicked out. It's the pub analogy again, isn't it? It's a pub short for public house. Anyone can go into a pub if they're, you know, above a certain age, but, you know, blah, blah. But if they cause trouble, they can be kicked out or permanently barred.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. It's just, you can say shit, and then you will pay the consequences for that.
Oh, but apparently consequences mean that, you know, they're stifling freedom of speech. There's like,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, but, with all due respect to people like that, they can go fuck themselves. No one owes them anything. They can shout, you know, they can shout all their racist bullshit and have their, you know, lolly pictures up on the walls of their basement.
Mm.
But that's because that's their basement.
Yeah.
Nowhere else.
Or
please,
again,
feel free to stick to 4chan and the like.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that. So that was an interesting.
I'm fine. I don't have strong opinions.
No, not at all. Meanwhile, oh no, I should mention this because it happens as we're recording. Okay, so for me, some of the biggest news that's happened since we last recorded for you guys is that Supernatural is finally coming to an end.
They
oh my god!
The pension pots.
And the college funds for all their kids.
Yeah.
And
their grandkids.
And their grandkids. Supernatural will end with season 15. So they've just wrapped filming for season 14. That's going to finish airing, I think, either later this month or sort of near the start of next month, because they're a couple of episodes shorter than what they have done for previous seasons. And then it's season 15, it's going to be the last season, which I'm cool with at this point. I feel like I'm one of the few fandom people that I know that hasn't been bawling their eyes out. It's like, oh no, this is a natural point for them to get to. It's been going, like, they have told so many stories, and okay, they haven't always been the stories that some fans want. Unfortunately, I'm talking mainly about shippers at this point. But that's kind of what fanfic and fan art's for, and fan videos. Especially fan videos, especially the Profound Bond fan video, which if you can ever find it, it's like an entire rom-com edit. It's just perfect.
Anyway.
So it's ending.
To be honest, I still think that, you know, they've built up quite a lore and a world there, and there are possibilities to, you know, kind of keep on going with the, you know, kind of make it more of a franchise, you know, the way that like Star Trek did, or, you know, several other, you know, series have done, sometimes successfully, sometimes not.
I kind of wished, though, maybe just the tiniest of bits, that CW had picked up on Wayward Sisters.
Hmm.
Just the tiniest bit. And they had the chance the other year. I mean, there's still technically the chance to do that, but then you've got the issue that actresses like, is it Katie Newton who plays Claire, has been doing a lot more sort of wider acting work in Hollywood in the past year. So,
which is fine. I mean, they could have somebody else.
Yeah, they could have somebody else. But also, I like Claire. I like a whole bunch of other people, whenever the subject of Claire comes up.
But yeah, I mean, it's something that they could do if they really want to, if they want to keep the family going, as it were.
Yeah.
It just seemed like an obvious thing for them to do at that point.
Yeah.
I'm just annoyed that the episode was nowhere near as good as I thought it could or should have been.
Mm. But anyway, so that's some other news. And then the other news that I think the main bit of news we kind of wanted to discuss today is the developing situation between Epic Games Store and the Steam Store. Or
yeah.
something that we probably all expected to happen at some point, but never quite in the way and velocity that it's currently happening at? Could somebody who isn't me provide background at this point?
That was probably me then.
Yeah.
Well, as it turned out, you know, years ago, you may remember that a plucky upstart developer called Valve, who, you know, had a massive success on its hands with Half-Life, decided that they were going to distribute their game Half-Life 2 themselves using their own client and store. So they decided to set this thing up called Steam. It'll never work, shit name. And, you know, people went out and bought the game and they found this code and said, what the hell is Steam? Okay, download that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there was lots of hassle at the time because I remember, of course, there were server issues. I know that never happens with a new thing. But yeah, for the, you know, the longest time it was like, oh, okay. So, you know, Valve were doing their own things from it and no one had, you know, an issue. And then they started accepting other, you know, publishers, etc. But anyway, long story short, Valve and Steam are a huge behemoth because they publish pretty much all the PC gaming catalog. There are a few others, like Ubisoft did Uplay, EA have done Origin, CD Projekt Red have done GOG, but they are, and there's stuff like Itch.io for indie games, but they are all much smaller fish. Mm-hmm. In the sea of gaming. And then Epic, who have done, you know, they do the Unreal Engine that have been, you know, behind, you know, loads of games. So, you know, they've been raking it in for a while. Then they had a runaway success in their hands called Fortnite. Anyone heard of that?
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, yeah. It'll never catch on, especially with the young'uns. Like my nephew, Jesus Christ. And on the back of that, Epic decided, well, we'll do our own store with blackjack and hookers. And, of course, you know, the whole argument being that Steam have always taken 30% of each sale as a fee for, you know, being on the Steam store and having, you know, forums and, you know, blah, 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 and support and automatic updates and all that kind of thing. All the stuff that we've, you know, we've grown accustomed to, that's supposedly from the 30%. However, Valve are incredibly rich. It prints money. So much so that I think that's the main reason why they haven't bothered with, you know, Half-Life 3. Because printing money from other people's sales is just too much fun for them. So, you know what? You know, what's the bother? Why, you know, why would they?
What is the last Steam game that was actually, as in, like, developed by
Valve?
Valve, that's one.
I think it was Dota 2 or something like that.
Mm.
I mean, technically they own stuff like Dota and Counter Strike and, you know, Team Fortress and all that, and all those. There's probably something else I'm thinking of as well. There's probably like a shitty card game that I don't give a shit about.
Yes, Poker Night at the Inventory, I think.
That's not a huge thing.
It's not a huge thing, but there was
supposed to be something else as well, but I cannot.
I mean, there's like Portal remember. And Left 4 Dead and stuff.
But they had other people develop those.
Yeah. And they then brought in house.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it's justifiable that they did the, you know, the spit and polish on them and, you know, made them huge successes. So, you know, yeah, but
well, I mean, same deal was done with Team Fortress, wasn't it? That was actually originally a mod for, was it Counter-Strike?
Yeah. And, you know, that's fine, but in the meantime, they haven't done much. But anyway, so, Epic.
Yeah, they're not really a game developer anymore, are they, really?
Yeah, exactly. That's a sad thing. That is the incredibly sad thing about Valve. They don't seem to bother much. They've just got too much money.
Especially
anyway, so Epic do the thing with Fortnite, hugely successful. So they decide we'll have our own, you know, client and store. Mm. Except one of the big things that, you know, Epic thought of was a much smaller cut for themselves. So any sale that goes, well, I've already said, any sale that goes through Steam, Valve get 30%. Any sale on the Epic Store, Epic get 12%.
That is quite a difference.
Yeah.
That is quite a difference, isn't it? So, it's partly that, and of course they've got the momentum on the side with running Fortnite and such. And I think they were, there's various deals, like if you use Unreal in your game, then you can publish it for, you know, even cheaper or something like that. I can't remember if they ever went through with that. But, you know, if you publish it, you know, first on their store or exclusive. So, you know, there's all this, competition is good, etc. You know, everyone can agree with that, that Valve has desperately needed some competition in these, you know, this market. Where the issue is where games that have previously been headed for Steam, like Metro Exodus. And there's at least one Kickstarter game that said, oh, we will be, you know, everyone who backs us will be getting Steam keys, et cetera, et cetera. And it's turned out that because of the vast amount of cash from this, you know, little indie hit, Fortnite, Epic have been throwing money at publishers and saying, if you're exclusive, then you can have this. So one of the first moments I heard about this was when people were getting the boxed copies of Metro Exodus on PC. Hmm. And the deal was clearly inked so late that there was a sticker on the cover which gave details about the Epic Store. And if you peeled the sticker off, it had the Steam details instead.
Oh, fancy that.
Yeah.
To be honest, I'm actually surprised that they actually got a physical copy.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised when that happened. It's like, did they have a physical PC game? Mind you, it's probably following on from what Valve did with Half-Life 2. It's probably just a code. I know they did that with at least some copies, probably. You know, it could well have been all. Yeah, so that's annoyed a few people. There's also a game, I cannot remember the name of it. It was mentioned in the latest Jimquisition video.
Was it?
From the British developer Julian Gollop, who did things like XCOM and Laser Squad and Rebel Star on the 8-bits. And Chaos, which was recently kickstarted and put on Steam. But yeah, that's gone Epic Store exclusive as well. And yeah, people have been sending hate towards, for example, the Metro Exodus developers, and they've pretty much responded with, please, it wasn't our decision, it's our publisher. Our publisher decided to switch platforms.
That's,
you know, blame those guys. We're not we just made the game. Please don't blame us. But yeah, it's causing irritation, it's causing annoyance. From my perspective, I prefer getting things on Steam because I like having one client. I already have Steam, I have Uplay, I have Origin, I have GOG, and I have the Epic Launcher.
I have to admit, when I actually started collecting like the Mass Effects, like Mass Effect 1 and 2 on Steam, and then when the third one was going to be Origin exclusive, and it's like, fuck.
Yes.
I felt actually quite betrayed by that. Because, I think I downloaded the Game of the Year edition with like the, you know, DLCs for like the second. And then was just like, well, I'm not going to be able to, you know, transfer my save files to the third one, and it just kind of ruined it for me.
At least not easily, anyway. Yeah. You'll be able to do it. There's some jiggery pokery that you can do.
Well, yeah, because I think didn't the third one come with a kind of bit at the beginning where you can kind of do a reimagining of the first two games in comic form, where you get to choose, you know, what happened here and what happened there.
Yeah,
yeah, Yes, but I think you could actually transfer the file as well if you knew where to put it.
Okay.
But, you know, that's kind of out of the realms of the client. The client should be able to just handle that.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Hmm.
But, yeah, that was annoying. It's always been an annoyance to me when a series jumps ship. Not because of this is a betrayal. I am an Xbox fan, or I am a PlayStation fan, or I am a Nintendo fan. It's because, how, you know, if I file everything alphabetically, but in separate formats, what do I do when a game jumps format? Should I have that one particular game next to the others in the series, or what? I'm innerly retentive that way, and it annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah,
because look at Resident Evil. You know, you could have the Saturn copy of the original. Then you could have the Nintendo 64 version of, you know, Resident Evil 2, and then you could have a Dreamcast copy of, you know, et cetera.
Yeah.
So if you want the series together, that's annoying.
Or, you know, a more recent example would be the Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah.
Because they're scattered across several different platforms.
True, but that gave Square Enix the opportunity to resell people their games.
True, but I doubt that was the original intention, having all the different rehashed versions.
Oh, no, no.
Does that help the plot make sense?
No.
No, I didn't think it would. That would be asking a lot. But yeah, it's basically Epic are throwing cash about in order to try and establish more of a foothold, and it's annoying people, because especially the people who would buy it on one thing and then find that apparently people who did buy on Steam, you know, if they, you know, pre-ordered, they are getting the Steam codes. And they're being able to, you know, update and such, and keeping it, you know, keep some of these games in Steam, which just kind of pisses on other people's conflicts who would prefer to have it on Steam, but they're not being given that choice because Epic have flashed cash.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose one of the more shocking things out of the games that have jumped ship, as it were, whilst this has been cooking along, is Ubisoft's Anno 1800?
Yeah.
Game. Which, mostly because it's Ubisoft, so it's his big name. And I don't know, like, I haven't done PC gaming for a while at this point, because I haven't had a machine up to the job for quite some time now. And, I mean, okay, I used Steam a lot, but I've never been the kind of person to have I've got a Steam library, but it's not super, super huge. Like some people, like, if I've been PC gaming consistently since I got into gaming, and you know, like, I think I might be a bit more pissed off with there being this sudden shift happening.
But yeah.
Then
yeah.
Epic Games still isn't. It's going to take a long time for them to catch up, and they'd need a lot of publishers to kind of come their way.
That's the thing. I think also to a certain extent, it's. Predominantly an issue with the PC market, because with consoles, this would be even worse, because you'd already have people that, you know, have, like, you know, PlayStation 4, and if a game gets exclusivity with Xbox One, you're going to be pissed off about it more than if you have to download another client. And, you know,
yeah. Also, in people's defense, part of the reason that they're not too happy about Epic muscling in is because the client simply isn't very good.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, one thing which I hadn't realized, because I'll be honest, the only reason I've got the Epic store installed on my PC, and I'm looking at it right now, is because of the freebies. Which, again, is another way that I pick up in splashing cash. They will give away 2 free games a month. Including things like Axiom Verge and... hang on, let's have a look. I've got Axiom Verge, Thimbleweed Park, Oxenfree, and Slime Rancher. And those are all free games. Other clients have tried this as well. Like Ubisoft tried it for a while, and EA with, you know, their Origin store were giving away, you know, a game a month. But it's just how, you know, it seems a little bit, you know, here's free stuff, we are just throwing cash. And on one hand, it's good because several of the games that they picked to be free are quite indie. Axiom Verge, as an example, was pretty much a single man effort. So, you know, I'm all in favor of seeing these, you know, getting support, but it's just the way Epic are doing it. The store doesn't even have a basket.
So wait, do you have to make a decision there and then on whether or not to buy something when you're on its page?
Yeah, if you want to buy three games on the Epic Store, you have to find the first game, click on buy, go through the buying process, and then go, you know, find the next game and repeat that. You can't just put three things in your basket and say, I want to pay for these.
Which presumably means at the moment they can't actually do any special deals. Like, you know, buy this game, get 20% off that game, type of thing.
Yeah, which I think is part of the reason why they're doing the free games. So, you know, rather than offer sales and such, they're just trying to, you know, hey, you know, opens coats. Do you want a free game? Hmm. which is fine. I mean, I am happy to do that. I am anyone's for a free game, but I can see how people are getting vexed. It's all very nice giving away these free things, but maybe get your client and store to the standard of some of the other ones.
Meanwhile, hasn't Epic got some investment from, is it Tencent? The Chinese company? Big ass company?
I believe I heard that. Yes,
which, and aren't they the same lot that have actually got a bit of an investment in Reddit as well at the moment?
I had not heard that.
I'm pretty sure they might be the Chinese investor that's peeved off a bunch of Redditors, like, in recent times. You guys talk amongst yourselves whilst I confirm the facts. And nothing but the facts.
To be honest, I can't remember the last time I actually booted up Steam. sounds terrible.
It's been a while.
It's not just because, oh, I've always grown up to be like a console gamer or anything like that. Lately, it's been more like games take up a lot of time. And
it's the same company.
Yeah, okay. And
yeah, I thought it was.
And time is not something that I have abundantly got. Most of the time.
No, same, because even I'm he's another example where Steam is just the default. I'm subscribed to the Humble Monthly. And it is a rare thing indeed for any of the games in any of their bundles, whether they are the monthly variety or, you know, just the, you know, the standard Humble deals.
Yeah.
Where they're not going to be Steam keys. There was a rare example a while ago, which I quite liked for multiple reasons, because there was an EA Origin bundle. And with that, not only did you get the Origin keys, but you did also get the Steam keys for the games that were available on Steam. So I could give a few spare copies of things like Mirror's Edge. You know, to friends, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that worked out, but yeah, it's the default.
I gotta admit, I do like the gifting feature on Steam. Like being able to, you know, kind of buy a four pack of a particular kind of four player game and be like, hey, friend, here, have a free game, play with me.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Or seeing what, you know, is on your friend's wish list and being like, oh, it's his birthday, you know, today. Just get him this. It's on offer as well. So, ideal.
Yeah, it's just such a handy thing. There's so many things that, you know, Steam have done. I mean, yes, Steam is not by any means a perfect store.
Oh, no.
Don't get me... I mean, good God. you know, so, yeah, no one's ever going to say that. But it's just, there are a lot of things that Steam does where it's glaringly obvious when another client doesn't do it. Is that one example? Steam has done automatic cloud saving for a while now.
Hmm.
So that, you know, that's a handy feature. And a while ago, my wife lost her save on Witcher. Was it 2 or 3? I'm not sure which one. But yeah, it just decided to delete the save. And that was it.
Oh, boy.
There wasn't a resync. It was like, nope. There it goes.
Bye then.
Yeah, bye. If that was on Steam, then you could have just resynced it.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very obvious. I mean, also, for the longest time, the GOG client didn't offer screenshots.
Blimey.
Whereas on Steam, and of course, you know, people are used to it now, you know, with the Xbone and the, you know, PS4.
Yeah.
All you have to do is press a key and it will record either a clip or a screenshot, and you can say, hey, this looks cool, doesn't it?
Hmm. I do actually kind of appreciate that feature.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because, obviously, social media is so much more connected with this generation of consoles that it kind of feels a bit weird not to be able to share, like, a clear image or a video. It kind of is like... The other alternative is to either stick it through some sort of, you know, third-party system or take a screenshot using your mobile phone.
Though I really wish stuff would share to Instagram.
Fair.
Natively.
I don't, because it's Instagram and it's a Facebook company. But...
Yeah, but you've got Facebook and Twitter, and it's just kind of like...
Yeah, it kind of doesn't make sense not to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be there, but I wouldn't use it.
Meh.
there,
fair
I'm
enough.
Sure, I'm sure there are plenty of things that you use that we wouldn't.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, getting back to this, so I think one of the issues I got is, again, it's a question that keeps, or an issue that keeps coming up with any of our episodes these days. It's fragmentation again of the market, but as you've been saying, it's with an inferior service currently. Except unless, of course, you're the person making the money, in which case it's a superior service because you get more money as long as you make the sales.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one. I mean, in a way, like, competition in this sort of situation where money's involved isn't healthy to be without. But then at the same time, it's that lack of crossplay, because that's another issue, isn't it?
That is another issue, yeah.
That, yeah. Mind you, speaking of Epic in general, can we just point out we are unappreciative of the fact that they've decided that crossplay for Fortnite should now lump Switch with mobile and tablet players rather than console players?
Yeah, that I would like to know the logic behind that. That, I mean, unless it's because that's what it's, you know, the Steam, the Switch branch is based on?
Well, no, because, I mean, they had it previously. Like, previously they were like, oh, there's no cross-play between... Who was it? Was it PS4 and Switch didn't have...
So originally the cross-play was just between Xbox and PC.
Yeah.
But then Nintendo was kind of joined in the cross-play.
And then PS4.
And then PS4 after, you know, there was backlash.
Yeah. So to then just be like, oh, now Switch, let's just put it over here. And it's like, do you understand the types of people that would consider... Like, the people that would consider playing Fortnite on a Switch are probably more gamer types and thus have friends with consoles and PCs versus mobile tablet gaming, which actually I'm going to go out on a limb and say actually is a lot of younger players who aren't as, well, not serious, but certainly younger players. It's getting kids with tablets. Well, I say kids. Technically, it should be young teenagers. But, yeah.
It does make me think,
I'd go with that.
It does make me think, though, that it is going to turn out to be a bit of a... I don't think anybody would play on Fortnite on a tablet if they had a video games console available. You know, it kind of doesn't make sense to do that unless... You know, the tablet is the only thing that you can actually join in on.
Yeah. And actually, in some ways, phone and tablet is going to have worse controls than the Switch because it's You know, so it's like, why would you put Switch players with them? Anyway, this is getting away from Epic. And I don't think they're a serious contender to Steam at the moment. And everything could still go horribly wrong. But at the same time, where we've seen media producers and that kind of jumping ship at the moment in terms of TV, you know, between Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, then to the sort of broadcast / network owned platforms, you know, like stuff like Disney owns and WB owned, CBS owned.
I mean, there's a whole different thing about Disney owning everything.
And then obviously Apple this past week's decided to wade in with its new vision of Apple TV Plus. You know, like that there is a serious fragmentation lesson going on in TV at the moment, shall we say, that if I was a game platform provider for purchasing downloads and playing and connectivity, I would be taking lessons from at the moment.
I mean, on one of the articles that you kind of shared with, one of the reasons why the developer decided to jump ship to Epic Games is their focus on cross-platform, which, to be honest, is obviously a new thing, and it's obviously a very, very good thing because there's been three main consoles and PC, all having their own separate games and whatnot for a while now.
And their own separate online environments.
Yeah.
With the amount of games coming out on each and every single one, it's basically a struggle to go online on a game that's more than 2 months old and actually play somebody online reliably, unless you've set it up with a friend specifically beforehand, in which case...
Yeah.
The only time I would want to play online would be either if I had a party of my own friends first, or I could just mute everyone I didn't know.
But obviously,
With you saying about environments there, that's another thing which comes to mind, which I think part of the problem is no one really had an issue with different publishers and such of games when you would just install them on your PC and it would just put them in like program files or, you know, wherever, and you would just launch them from the start menu.
Yeah.
The issue has come, and unfortunately, you know, I can't really see a way around it other than making everything open, is when people have the clients. Because suddenly when the clients are how you launch things, then it becomes a little bit more of an issue when something isn't within that client or can't be linked. I'll say this for Steam. I have plenty of games which aren't, you know, on the either, you know, via Steam or on Steam or, you know, thing, but, you know, I want to run them via Steam, and Steam does allow me to do that. So if I want to run like a PS2 emulator or a Commodore 64 emulator, I can run it from Steam if I want to. I just have to add the shortcut, and I'll still have the Steam overlay and still be able to take screenshots, etc., you know, all that, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, suddenly when everything is its own environment, that starts to become a little bit more of a dividing line.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was just a thought with you saying about the environment that everything is in.
I mean, I think it's obviously become more of an issue once again with online as well. You know, being able to play with, you know, friends online. And crossplay is one of those issues that, you know, I'm glad that it's solved. You know, I'm glad that I'm able to jump on my, you know, Switch and, not that I have really done it, but jump on my Switch and play with, you know, Fortnite over friends, well, play with friends on Fortnite over, you know, the internet, and they're on, like, the PC version or the PS4 version. And I think more and more games kind of need to do that, really.
Yeah. I can't see if everything is running from a common code base, and that, and like I said, that, you know, the only thing that comes to mind with that is if they've decided to fracture the code base between the PC and consoles and mobile architecture, which of course the Switch is mobile architecture, but I don't think it counts as a mobile.
No.
And that's, you know, that's coming from Johnny Nintendo fan here.
Okay, I'm going to move us on from this because you've been sampling it a bit. Basically, I think it's wait and see what happens. Another contender might step into the arena. Who knows?
Oh, God, not another one.
Yeah. But moving on,
maybe what we need is a meta client, a client that can see what other clients have got and launch it for you.
You could call it a PC.
Yeah. Okay, moving us on. So, what have people been up to? Retroid.
I have been watching the latest, because I can't remember which season it is, of Van Helsing on that there Netflix, which is a post-apocalyptic vampire series with the titular lady character, Vanessa Van Helsing, and her sister. And they are trying to face up to possible personal prophecies, PPP, and all the shit that's going on there, and how the vampires are evolving. There are now daywalkers.
It kind of reminds, well, just the whole sister thing, and the kind of reminds me of Winona Earp.
Yeah, except like as I've said on previous episodes, we tried that for a few episodes and just could not get on with it. Seems, just seemed very sub Buffy. And it's like, I want to like this, but it was, you know, there was something else, you know, like the paint drying channel, and it was, do you fancy watching that instead? Yeah. I don't think, I really can't be asked with another episode of this. It may be brilliant, it may be absolutely great, and I'm missing out, but could not.
I mean, to be fair, you know, Buffy did eventually have a sister as well, and was fighting the forces of evil and whatnot. So, yeah, I can see them being quite comparable in certain ways.
But as Vanessa gets stronger, it seems like she's becoming more vampiric.
Okay.
So there's a whole... there are arcs going on. Like, for example, if she bites a vampire, she cures them.
Huh.
And that's been playing out with quite a good story arc, where there was a character who was, you know, one of the big bads in the first series, in the first season.
Hmm.
And she eventually, you know, faces off with him and bites him. And that cures him, and he's suddenly no longer a bastard, because he's not being driven by the sort of, you know, fever for blood. So, of course, he's sired other vampires as well, and occasionally he'll, you know, encounter them, and they'll be, oh, you know, you're weak now, and then, with one example, Vanessa bites him as well. And so... you know, this other character really hates this other character because he sired him. And one of the first things this other character did when he was, you know, bit by the, you know, the big bad from the first season, originally when, you know, the world went to hell, was he went home to see his wife and family when he was in the throes of, you know, getting the vampire thing. So, yeah, he basically killed his family. Well, he killed his children, but not his wife. He just made her watch. So, you know, there's separate arcs going along, and there's another character who, spoilers, turns out to be a psychopathic serial killer. Even though he's portrayed to start off with as possibly, you know, sympathetic. And he gets turned, and as a vampire, he's even more fucked up and worse. So, but you start getting bits and pieces of his backstory as well. How and why possibly he turned out as bad as he did. And he's just obsessed with certain other characters. So, yeah, I would say it is worth, it's worth watching Van Helsing. It is, you know, a bit of a schlocky sort of pulpy, you know, series, but it's good. We've been enjoying it. So, yeah, so we've been watching Van Helsing, and we started off on the second season of The OA. Now, has anyone watched the first season?
No.
I would recommend it. It's good. It's weird. The first season starts off with a young woman who just turns up. And she disappeared about 7 years previously. So her adopted parents are very, very, very thankful to, you know, see her back. But one of the weird things is now she's been returned and she says she doesn't know where she was. She's now no longer deaf.
Okay.
She gets together. You know, the whole thing is, you know, misfits, but I'll just say, you know, people who for one reason or another, you know, don't fit into the, you know, the local community, you know, and they have things lacking. So she gets them together and tells them the story of what happened to her in the 7 years. Turns out she remembers. And her story is she was kidnapped by a doctor who was researching near-death experiences. And he captures her. He has, I think it's three others, four others, but there are several people. And he's doing research into what is beyond life. So he keeps them captive, drowns them with their attached to electrodes, and then records their experiences, all the, you know, the readings, takes notes of what they saw when they were, you know, dead.
Yeah.
And he's trying to find out what exactly is going on. The OA of the title is the lead character, and she's called OA because she's told she's the original angel.
Okay.
So they're trying to, well, he is trying to discover the language of the angels, and it's mostly like a movement thing. And the first season, it's left very ambiguous or whether she was deranged and had simply made the whole thing, you know, up in her mind to, you know, try and mitigate the, you know, the captivity. Or whether she's for real. And the second season kind of removes some of that ambiguity.
Fair.
It's a very filmic series. I hadn't realised, but the lead actress also co-writes the series as well. One of the good things about, for example, the first season is that the episodes are chapters and they are as long as they need to be. I'm pretty sure in the first season there's at least one which is longer than an hour. And there's another which is only about 36 minutes, something like that.
Hmm.
So there is no padding. It's taking full advantage of the, you know, the streaming box set.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, Netflix format.
Can be however long it needs to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a chapter in a book. No one's going to say to you that this, you know, each chapter has to be 43 pages. Doesn't matter how you do it. Doesn't matter if you have like a sub chapter in it that, you know, just to pad it out, but it every single chapter has to be 43 pages long. So, and this just kind of throws that out the window.
Kind of want to read a book now with one of its chapters is just like fuck. Then the next chapter.
Yeah, that would if I wrote a book, that would probably be chapter one. And it would also just be a test, just to see if how many people can pass the first chapter. It's like, oh, okay, right, I'm putting that back on the shelf. It's like, no, it's good. No, it wouldn't be because I'd be the one writing it. But yeah, it's an odd series, and it's good. You know, with the first season, half of it is told in, you know, flashback with where she's relating the, you know, the story to her new friends.
Hmm.
And yeah, with the second season, I'll just say it starts off with her dead. So far as the rest of them know. And of course, with her being dead, then several of the, you know, of the group are, well, she couldn't have been for real. But there are one or two true believers in, you know, in the group who, you know, they, you know, they want to carry on, and, you know, they're wanting to know what, you know, what was real and what was not. Okay. But I haven't finished the, you know, the second season yet, and I've been really enjoying it. It is very, very good and highly recommended. Watch it.
Okay, Emily.
What have I been up to? I've been playing. I got my hands on
putting the OA on your list on Netflix.
No. I've been up to. I got my hands on Yoshi's Crafted World for Nintendo Switch. It was only released last week.
Oh yeah.
I'm not the kind of person that normally plays games which have even the remotest elements of platforming going on, but actually I've been enjoying it quite a bit because, you know, a bit like Kirby type stuff. Obviously Yoshi doesn't just jump. There's kind of like a bit of a extra kind of floaty type thing the Yoshis can do. So I'm like maybe a fifth of the way through it. I got like my first main significant plot relevant collectible late yesterday.
Because platformers always have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think is it the Dreamstone or something that we're sort of trying to restore? Anyway, one of Bowser's kids has messed everything up, and it's just like, for fuck's sake.
Is Bowser in it?
Not that I know of.
Well then, what's even the point?
Bowser is not canon.
Say that. You say that, and then look, we've got Waluigi, and what the hell is the point of him?
Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, I wouldn't mind it if Bowser was canon. It's just that, you know, that she needs to be in a game.
There we go. That's what I'm waiting for. That'll get me buying a Switch.
Can I talk about Yoshi?
Sorry, tangent. I should have known.
It's a really adorable game. It's got kind of like, because obviously you got Yoshi's Woolly World that came out on the Wii U.
Yep.
So this is kind of continuing with that kind of crafting aesthetic. We've had one world actually that was kind of more fabric-y than others. The rest are kind of like more paper-based. That I'm pretty sure I've been going through a world that does have a macaroons setup going on. I feel like macaroons. When did colourful macaroons become like a thing that everyone obsesses over?
I'm not even 100% sure what a macaroon is.
Well, it's not.
Also, define everyone.
I don't know. Like, I think maybe Americans have suddenly become obsessed with very colourful.
I know what I have seen them.
Yeah.
Not on Instagram, you know, because Instagram can go to hell.
You know the biscuity yeah. things that were in Angelato's that are all really colourful?
Okay.
Those.
Ah.
Because the whole aesthetic. Angelato's is an Italian ice cream parlour in Truro. So, highly recommend their ice cream. This is not product placement. Just, I love ice cream. So, yeah, there's just really not, like, each wall's just a little bit different in terms of what it does to the styles. Unlike any Mario family game, gameplay mechanics are introduced over the course of different stages and stuff, and it kind of tries to help you puzzle out how you're meant to approach things as it introduces different elements and growing levels of complexity. But one of my favourite touches, even though it's horrible, is I tried completing it late last night, but obviously I had to give up because I was just tired and kept dying. But there's like this kind of like haunted level, like haunted castle type place that I've ended up where you've got like, oh, what's the dude with the masks?
Shy guys.
There's like dead zombie shy guys walking around and stuff, and whichever Yoshi you play as, the poor little buggers just shaking there, like freaking terrified, kind of like Luigi's Mansion levels of terrified, only more terrified and extra adorable, but also more, oh my god, no, please don't be scared, because it's a Yoshi that's scared. A cute little adorable Yoshi going, I don't want to be here, as it shakes and shivers in ways that it does not do in any other world. And you're just like, I'm sorry, Yoshi, but I need to put you through this level because as I can, I'm fussing you. I'm sorry, please don't hate me. Kind of deal going on. It's quite painful in that regard. There's also a couple of enemies where it's like, you're too adorable to hurt me. Why are you trying to hurt me? Why? Which is just like...
It's an adorable platformer.
Yeah. It sort of hurts when some things turn out to be enemies. It really does. And then you die after you've like realised they're not going to be your friend.
Does this make you want to play any Mario games?
No, because it's less forgiving on chumps. Yoshi's a very forgiving game on chumps. Which is my main issue with most platformers, is that there's no way to extend jumps if you kind of misjudge them, which is what I do most of the time when I try to play platformers. Which is why I've never got on with platformers most of the time.
It's also because Yoshi is a much better character than Mario.
This is also perhaps possible. I mean, I would also argue that Luigi is like a better character than Mario, but...
This is true. Pretty much everyone is a better character than Mario.
Even Peach, and she gets kidnapped a lot.
Yeah. If she doesn't get kidnapped, she just wants a break from his ship.
I mean, so I'm nowhere near completing it yet, but I'm really enjoying Yoshi's Crafted World. Trying to think, what else have I been up to? I've been trying to read more of The Shining. I've got less than probably into like maybe like the final quarter of the novel, I want to say. So that's getting creepy as heck. And I'm still and I'm onto The Sinner season 2 on Netflix. Which for the second season just gets, it's even weirder than the first. And I've just kind of lost some of my empathy for Bill Pullman's character of like, was it like Lieutenant Detective Ambrose or whatever? He's, His approach to his marital problems are like, well, of course you have problems. You're seeing a prostitute behind your wife's back, even though she doesn't know about it. Like, this is why this is probably all going wrong, because you're just, you know, kind of not committed here, doing things behind her back.
Communicate.
Yeah, but it's not going to work anyway because, yeah, stuff happens, so...
It's just that kind of series where nobody can be happy.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's misery porn.
No, because that's usually based off actual real life. This is just, like, this is just crime with, like, actual side stories going on.
Speaking of misery porn, I've just been reading up on some of the Brexit votes tonight.
Oh, don't do that.
I'll just say, yeah, misery. I've just posted the British politics, me, death. Image again.
And did we try... We ventured a little bit more into the Resident Evil 2 remake the other week. We got further. We're just making our way into the Umbrella facility with Leon's story at this point. Still freaking terrified. A certain character we kind of hoped was dead came back. It was Mr. X.
I had no doubts that he would come back.
I couldn't remember the story of two. So
I could.
Damn it. So Mr. X came back and Paul kind of like...
I tried to nope out.
Paul noped out for once rather than me, and so I had to take over for this one bit of getting the hell away from Mr. X. He's still walking around somewhere though, right? We've only dodged him temporarily, right? We haven't done anything to incapacitate him for a second time, have we?
Have you seen the PC mod? I mean, I know you're not playing on PC, but it replaces it with him with Thomas the Tank Engine.
I am aware of this mod, yes.
Including the music.
I've seen several of the mods, including every time that he appears, it's X going to give it to you.
Oh, God.
Yes.
And also a mod that turns all regular zombies into Mr. X's as well, and that looks fucking terrifying.
At some point next year we might finish Resident Evil 2 remake, maybe. as it continues,
we'll get there.
As it continues to terrify us for every little stint that we kind of venture into. That's me. Paul, what have you been up to? Other than co-playing Resident Evil 2 with me.
Yeah. So obviously there's Star Trek Discovery. So the latest episode is getting, still more interesting. I don't know how much to kind of say without...
It's pretty spoilery at the moment.
It is pretty spoilery.
Expectations were broken.
Yep, things are getting a little bit heavy. It's just, like... kind of wondering what is going to happen next. And that's good in a way, you know, to have a series where you're actually wondering how they're going to resolve this, what's going to happen. You know, there's way too many series that's like, okay, I've kind of said enough now. The Walking Dead. The latest episode of that. The season finale is on tonight, as we're recording.
At least in the UK, it was on last night in the US.
And, once again, I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Shit happened in the last episode. There was some really big shit, and it's just like,
So the penultimate episode was really big shit, and I'm expecting really big shit to happen this time, this episode as well.
Is anyone going to survive?
Well, somebody's going to survive.
Okay.
Yeah, there'll be one or two.
But, there's still...
I'm rather glad, just to, chip in there. Even though they tried not to be a spoiler, I still got slightly spoiled.
By what?
Last week's episode. It was just a, one of the, fan sites, that does, TV news and such. And the post itself was not spoilery. The tweet itself was not spoilery.
Was it people responded
to it? Just the fact they said heartbreaking and had a picture of one of the characters. And it's like, well, thanks.
That's just implicit spoiling rather than explicit spoiling.
Yeah, it's just, can you not... Can you not, if it's something like that, if there's a character who, it's like, just don't.
It's kind of don't the equivalent of, like, Ned Stark being on the chopping block and being like, you wonder what happens next. or you'll find this.
Yeah,
you'll be off in the head when you see this.
And then, you know, it's not going to be everyone goes, surprise, Ned! You've got a contract for 7 seasons. You know, sorry for anyone out there who hasn't seen Game of Thrones.
the very first season?
I'm going to point out that the first book's been out for a very long time.
Yes, it has.
But, yeah, I mean, can you imagine if Sean Bean did have, like, the full contract for, like, the entire thing, and basically just had his entire thing there was basically just being ahead on a spike doing nothing?
Yeah. Have you been up to anything else?
Yeah, I've been mostly working on my own writings.
Okay.
And, yeah, I downloaded a copy of Final Draft 11.
Legally, I want to point out.
Oh, yeah, legally. None of this Dave Internet stuff here. Well, I mean, obviously...
A lot of people have done Dave Internet and cracked the software and don't pay for it. Sometimes with interesting repercussions because it's pirated.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting repercussion is if you pirate the software and then Final Draft can basically just have like this bug in its code where it's like, oh, this isn't legitimate software, therefore every script that you produce, it's going to say owned by Final Draft.
No, I think it would just forcibly replace certain words with words you don't want it to replace words with. You know, when you try to do comical titles, and I'm going to go a bit Nerds After Dark here, but like replacing certain words with the word muff or butt or other such inappropriate words.
Replacing every single character with either this bitch or that bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch. What do you mean by that?
I assume you're talking about the Victorian hand warmers, by the way.
Yes, the Victorian hand warmers.
Yes.
See, I kind of like that those kind of copy protections where it like still allows you to use it, but just fucks it up in such a way where you go, God damn it.
Yeah. So I think that's all we've got.
I mean, I think that's what happens. That's what should happen with like online video games as well. Like if you know, if you've been basically reported for, you know, kind of abuse or you know racial, you know, whatever, then instead of basically just blocking you outright, they start fucking about with your game. So, say for example, every time you respawn, you only have like one bullet, or you know, only a tiny bit of health.
Okay.
Yeah, I quite like things like that.
Okay, I assume that's all we've got time for this week.
So, yeah, well, it sounds like it by the way that you're saying.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's it.
That is it. So it's good night from.
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find Nerds Assemble on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. We're also on Instagram at Nerds Podcast, and we're on Facebook as Nerds Assemble Podcast. You can find notes for this episode over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. We're also available on Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, where the heck it is these days, Spotify, and probably a few other places that we've probably forgotten about. Basically, we're in places. Places.
We're in awkward places.
All the places.
All the places. Awkward places. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this going to Nerds After Dark again?
No. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Have you heard the Marvel theory about how Ant-Man will defeat Thanos?
Oh, God, no.